This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe, Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell of Dogs 24/7. Big game coming up for Georgia. And guys, I'm telling you right now, like, it almost breaks my heart because Georgia's to the end of conference play, meaning that the season finale is almost here. And from here on out, it's just kind of we're in the short rows, as my grandpa would say. The season's almost over. We got about a month and a half left in it. And kind of bittersweet, man. You wait all season long for it to get here, and then it's over. But this one's a big one for Georgia. They got a win against Texas A&M, clear this hurdle. I think, you know, Georgia Tech's playing well right now against NC State, but I think Georgia's going to be favored 3, maybe 4 scores in that one. So this one's the last major test for the Bulldogs, and good things it's home, and it's going to be senior night. And before we get into really anything about the game itself and start breaking it down, guys, I wanted to give us all a chance to talk about these seniors a little bit and kind of what they've meant to the program. And Rusty, I'll start with you. Just some quick thoughts, man, on this senior class comprised mainly of Kirby Smart's first class, not first full class, but the class he inherited, took over, got signed, and coached up for 4 years.
You know, I think there's a lot you can peel back looking at these guys. But one thing I think kind of stands out is the transfers. You look at J.R. Reed and how he got here and wasn't the heralded guy in that, you know, D'Angelo Gibbs was the guy. And, you know, J.R. Reed was kind of the afterthought in that probably package deal, coming over from Tulsa. But it didn't take long for the buzz about J.R. Reed and how good he showed on the transfer year that he could be a player. And, man, what a steal they get in J.R. Reed. You know, another unheralded guy. You look at, I think the theme of this class is kind of under the radar guys. You look at Tay Crowder, who was a last-minute running back commit. Look what he's wound up doing, in this class. You look at Brian Herrien, who was a guy that kind of blew up after signing day. You know, a young man out of the Douglasville area, and you know, it's really not to me about all the big-time guys. I think it's the guys that kind of came here unheralded. A little bit undersized. Look at Tyreek McGee, a little undersized player. But J.R. Reed, Tate Crowder, and Brian Herrien are three very important pieces of the puzzle for the Georgia Bulldogs. And when those guys at whatever time signed, you know, I'm just going to be honest, they didn't really move the needle. But look what the players they are, and all three of those guys are going to be Sunday players.
What about you, Kip? What's kind of some impressions you've gotten from this senior class over the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, just continue what Rusty said. I mean, Brian Herrien, a guy that's, you know, averaged over 5 yards a carry, 1,300 yards already with a couple games left to go. I mean, he's been, you know, even though he's not the feature back, but he's been kind of the heart and soul of this offense and a guy that, you know, has been a leader in this locker room, a guy that everyone can depend on. And then continuing on that path of guys that were kind of less heralded, you look at the defense and that defensive line class they brought in that first year. You know, everyone looked at Mikael Carter. Everyone looked at Julian Rochester. But Tyler Clark, a guy coming back for, his senior year and leads the team in tackles for loss right now. He's been playing some really outstanding football the last couple games. He's been a key part of that three-man front. And has been a big impact guy for Georgia during his tenure. And, I mean, Rodrigo Blankenship, you know, another guy that just had an outstanding career Former walk-on, obviously, you know, not getting a lot of love there, but I mean, he's absolutely one of the best kickers in the country, a guy they can definitely depend on, and they know that on kickoffs, that ball is more likely not, unless he was told to, it's probably going through the end zone, and, you know, been outstanding on PATs and the you know, field goals, you know, from 40 yards and in, he's been, you know, fairly automatic, and so a big impact guy there. It's just this whole class, you know, from top to bottom, there are guys in each facet of the game that have that played a big role here. And, you know, they came in here and have, you know, everything in front of them still to play for as seniors. And, I mean, for senior night, what more can you want than a chance to stay in the playoff hunt and have a chance to go into Atlanta, a chance to return to the college football playoff? You know, they got a taste 2 years ago, and they have a chance to go back. So, I mean, there's definitely some impact guys and guys that have definitely set the bar for these future classes at Georgia as far as what you can accomplish in 4 years if you come to Georgia.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And what I want to say about this class is this. You know, there are a handful of fifth-year seniors. You got Rodrigo, Michael Barnett, Tay Crowder, Justin Young, and you know, I think, you know, J.R. Reed probably fits into that too. But I'm talking about guys that have been at Georgia for 5 years. And at different points in their career, for Rodrigo, it was right there in the middle of year one when his dad was writing open letters and all that stuff. For Michael Barnett, it was probably when he got moved over to offensive tackle there in Kirby Smart's first year. Tay Crowder also was in that position move there. You know, Justin Young, after not playing hardly at all in 2017 and 2018, all of these guys were given up on at some point by Georgia fans. Heck, probably by us in some way. But it just goes to show that you never really can give up on these guys. They are what they are. Just isn't really it really isn't accurate. You know, if these guys stick it out and they continue to work hard, you never know when they might find their niche and when they might, you know, kind of mature and come on as a football player. And all four of those guys are playing a big role for Georgia. I mean, Justin Young's playing a lot of snaps. Tay Crowder and Michael Barnett are absolutely playing a lot of snaps. You know, and then obviously Rodrigo has put together a really awesome career at Georgia and has done some awesome things for the Bulldogs. Also look at how the senior class has done against Georgia's main rivals, and pretty impressive. I mean, they're 3-1 against Florida. I think they're 4-1 against Auburn. They're 2-1 against Tech right now with a chance to go 3-1, and you know, they've kind of whipped up on Tennessee a little bit too. A couple of or actually 3-1 now with a, you know, 3 blowouts. So. You know, this class has had a really successful career, and listen, it's not loaded with NFL players, guys that are going to be drafted in the first round or anything like that. But I don't think it can be debated that they've meant a lot to the university, and they've had all solid careers, and there have been some guys that have stepped up for Georgia in a pinch, and some, like you guys said, some really unheralded football players who found a way to impact this program the best way they could, and ultimately, all the goals are still ahead of them. Let's jump into Texas A&M, guys. And just real quick, Kit, we'll start with you. Texas A&M, trap game?
This is a game that you should definitely be worried about if you're Georgia, because, I mean, you look at these two teams, they're very similar. It's pretty scary how Texas A&M's, you know, their blueprint is Georgia's blueprint. I mean, you look at what they want to do on offense, they want to own the time of possession battle. And I looked and at the time of possession, as far as who's been doing well this year, I look at Georgia, obviously they're 12th in the country. That's what they want to do. They want to grind it out, long drives. Well, Texas A&M, 9th in the country in time of possession. You know, they try to do exactly what Georgia does. And in some facets, they're doing a better job. I mean, both teams are outstanding third down defense. I believe that Georgia's in there in the top 10, Texas A&M 13th. Third down conversions on offense, again, extending drives. Georgia is a team that is just outside the top 30, the 35, I believe. Texas A&M's 36. So, and you continue that to special teams. I mean, I think one of the biggest surprises this week is the fact that Texas A&M, their punter, Braden Mann, the Ray Guy winner last year, was left off the finalists this week for that award, and he's third in the country at 48.2 yards per punt. So, again, you continue to look at the similarities between these two teams that they extend onto special teams as well. So, yeah, if you're Georgia, you're looking at this team going, well, they like to do what we like to do, and they're doing a pretty dang good job of it. So, I mean, we definitely have to bring our A game this weekend.
Rusty, what about you? Trap game?
I mean, if Georgia, and I don't think Georgia players are, but if the Georgia fan base thinks this is a trap game, Georgia's in trouble. This is a team that can beat you. They have not played up to their potential all year. In my opinion, they've had some different issues. But when Texas A&M trots out on the field on Saturday, they're going to look like Georgia. They got big wide receivers, long, freaky wide receivers. They got big defensive linemen. They got big offensive linemen. You know, I do think Georgia – let me make this clear. I do think Georgia's a better team, but this is a game that Georgia very well could be in for a dogfight. I went back and looked at my prediction from August the 1st, and I had this game 31-30. And, you know, that was kind of preseason, assuming some things. But, you know, they got a big athletic quarterback that at times has made some bad decisions, but at times he's played well, and he can hurt you with his legs. So, you know, it's been for me, because we covered Georgia, and we kind of see the pulse of the fans based off our communities. And I'm telling you now, there's some people around here that think this is going to be a 14-21 point win, and I don't see it. This team is coming here, won four in a row, and they got some freaking play. They got some NFL dudes, a bunch of NFL guys on their roster. So I'm just telling you, this is – I don't think Georgia players, but I think the fan base is really underestimating what's about to walk into Sanford Stadium on Saturday.
You know, just from an emotional standpoint, I think it's a trap game because, man, I mean, the energy Georgia's had to expend the past, you know, three weeks since the bye for Florida, for Missouri, for Auburn, you know, going on the road, getting that huge win. I think it's a big-time test. I mean, I obviously like Georgia's talent. I think Georgia's defense matches up well with anybody's offense just because of how sound the Bulldogs are from front to back. It's not one of those – one thing about Georgia's defense is the fact that it's not one of those, like, they create a lot of negative plays, so they get you behind the chains. The secondary is not that great, but then they get you in a lot of negative – no, it's not like that. It's not like, well, they stop the, – they're really good against the pass, but you can get them with a run. No, they're really good at stopping a run. They can create negative plays. They're really good against the pass. They tackle well. I mean, this is a really good all-around defense, so it matches up well with anybody. I look at how Kellen Mond has played on the road in his career, and it hasn't been very good. Obviously, there's a chance to kind of get that monkey off your back here coming into Athens. I will say this, and I've noted this multiple times already, this environment's not going to spook Texas A&M at all. But this environment, I mean, you know, Athens is going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. There's going to be, you know, these students are going to have a blast on the final home game of the season and right before they cut loose and go home for Christmas break and all that stuff. I mean, not Christmas break, Thanksgiving break. But Texas A&M played at Clemson earlier this year. They played at Alabama last year. That, you know, they've played in some really raucous environments. Kyle Field's a big time environment as well. So I don't think they're going to be intimidated. And I'm kind of with Rusty. I kind of expect this one to be a pretty close game, but I do like Georgia to win it. And we'll go into our picks a little later on. Let's jump into a break real quick. Let these folks read their ads, and then we'll on our way back. When we come back, we'll talk about do old timer, new timer, and we'll make our picks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, guys, let's talk about who we think is going to play well in this one. And Kip, I'm going to start with you. Give me an old-timer and a new-timer that you think kind of have a chance to show out against Texas A&M.
Well, I guess my new timer, I'm gonna go with Azeez Ojulari. Obviously, as Rusty and I have said at this point, none of the freshmen are really young guys anymore. But we're sticking with that as far as just, you know, picking a freshman to shine. I think that, you know, when you look at what Azeez has been able to do as far as affecting the quarterback and how he's kind of come on and played really well for Georgia, I think it sets up well for him against Texas A&M's offensive line. They've kind of struggled against guys with speed, more explosive edge guys. And they are, I believe, the worst team in the SEC as far as allowing sacks. Now, granted, some of that is going to be on Kellen Mond and how long he's back there trying to find somebody downfield. But at the same time, I think with Georgia's secondary and just the way Azeez is playing, I think he's going to have time to get to Kellen Mond, which is obviously going to be a key for this game. So he's my young guy to click in this game. And I think just what Georgia needs to do offensively, I mean, the real easy pick here to have a big game is DeAndre Swift and what could be his last game in Athens as a junior, being a draft-eligible player. I think this game sets up well for Swift to get to that second level. I think, again, on the inside, on the interior line for Texas A&M, they got some hosses down there, some guys that can really take on blockers and you know, some guys who could take on multiple gaps, and that's going to be a challenge for Georgia's offensive line. But I think that, you know, if they can get Swift outside a little bit and get him to that second level, I think he's set up to have a over 100 yards of offense this game and maybe get a score or two for Georgia.
Rusty, who you got picked, man?
I mean, is it every week? But I'll stay away from 71 because that's too easy. You know, for my, I guess he's an halfway betweener at this point. And I mentioned this last week, and it's a thing I've been watching Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning and those guys do this now for about four or five games. They did it last week a couple of times on third down. They ran the stunt with Adam Anderson that wind up freeing up Trayvon Walker. But they play Adam Anderson when they have a quarterback that can run on those downs. And as Kip brought up, you know, the tendency to give up a few sacks or maybe he holds on the ball a little bit longer. You know, I do think Adam Anderson's behind some guys, but I know Adam and I know what type of player he is. And when you can turn him loose and say, go get him, that is when Adam Anderson is at his best. And I just think that, I'll say this, he jumped off sides a couple weeks ago, almost jumped off sides in the Florida game on a critical third down and was able to get back. So he's got to watch that, trying to time plays up. But I just think Adam Anderson can be a guy that can create two or three, maybe two negative plays for you in this game and keeping Kellen Mond from thinking about taking off because you're looking at a guy at 6'5" over there can run, you know, probably faster than you can. So you start thinking a little bit as a quarterback. You know, my newcomer, would be Trayvon Walker because I think as we talked, you know, earlier this week that he is no longer that freshman guy. He's starting to get meaningful reps. And when you look at an athletic guy like that, it's 280 pounds now, 6'5". He's a problem. You saw what he did last week. I watched him on. I went back and watched the game. I watched him on plays where they ran the ball at him, and he was able to control his gap You know, all that's big. That gap integrity stuff is huge for this defense, the way they scheme it up. I just think that Trayvon Walker is a guy that is going to continue to get better. And, man, he's going to be a big piece of the puzzle, Saturday, next week. But he's going to be a really big piece of the puzzle, you know, as Georgia tries to create some havoc, likely against LSU in that Mercedes-Benz. But I'll go with two defensive guys. I think the obvious choice is what Kip said. DeAndre Swift, if this weather looks the way it's going to be, I can't see Georgia firing the ball around. I can't see them doing anything but trying to run the ball and control this clock. So I think DeAndre Swift can get a lot of touches, but I'll go with two defensive guys. I'll go Trayvon Walker, and I'll go Adam Anderson.
You know, Rusty, you can correct me here because I think you've got a better read on it, but wasn't it about this time last year, right around the Auburn game last year, Kentucky game in November, that Adam Anderson started to kind of get going? They started to use him as that spy against those mobile quarterbacks?
Yeah, the first time you saw that was against Kentucky. That was the first time you saw him on third down in the inside linebacker position as a spy. They inserted Jordan Davis, and then they put Adam Anderson in behind him, and things kind of really got to roll. So, as far as an every down player right now, Adam doesn't have the weight to do it right now. You know, it doesn't mean he won't get there. It took DeAndre Walker 3 years to get to 245. But I'll say this, when you turn him loose and as fast as that guy, I would guarantee you he runs a low 4.5. Guarantee you he ran the third leg of the 100 for Rome here. On a great 4x1 team, this dude can roll now. Needs a little more, junk in the trunk, so to speak, to be able to hold up to these SEC guys at the point of attack. But when it is a blitzing down, a passing down, and they turn him loose, Adam Anderson is a problem.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's kind of been disheartening a little bit this year to have so many questions about where's Adam Anderson. I mean, listen, he's been playing on third down all year long. He's going to show up more against these mobile quarterbacks because, then he's able to kind of spy him and help keep him in the pocket. He actually played well against Notre Dame, I thought. Was kind of mirroring Ian Book there on third down a little bit. But Adam Anderson's fine. Adam Anderson's playing a big role on this team. I mean, listen, third down's the money down, and they trust him to go in there and do some really difficult stuff for him, and he's going to be back up to it again in this one. He's going to be up to it next week, more than likely going to be doing it against LSU. I think he could be a key player for Georgia down the stretch, just in general, whether it's Joe Burrow back there or Kellen Mond or whoever. I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm going to do like Kip. I'm going to pick a redshirt freshman here. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've kind of had late season circled as when this guy kind of busts out and has a big play, but I'm going to pick Zamir White. I think that, at some point in this game against Texas A&M, a defense that's averaging almost 5 yards a carry, giving up almost 5 yards a carry to SEC opponents, I think Zamir is going to pop one off of left guard, left tackle somewhere, and maybe not house it, but bite off a chunk play and kind of get everybody fired up. I just think he's a downhill bruising style running back that can have some success with that, maybe against the Texas A&M defense that's big. He's big and long, but it's faster than it is massive. They don't really have that Jordan Davis style guy in there. They don't have the linebackers that quite stack up to a guy like Quay Walker or even Tay Crowder right there in that 235-pound range. They've got some fast guys though and some long guys. But I think Zamir White can get it going. As far as veterans go, I've kind of been bouncing around with the wide receivers this week because, yeah, it's going to rain and there may be a little bit of a wet ball, but I don't expect it to be like it was against Kentucky whenever it rained basically for, 15 straight hours steady. I've picked him a couple times this year, and he's kind of let me down. But I like Demetrius Robertson in this one. I think Demetrius is going to come up with some catches, whether it's the deep over route, whether it's that deep out route that he catches from Jake Fromm, slot fade, whatever it may be. I think Demetrius Robertson is going to come up with a play or two in this game. And, he's caught some touchdown passes for Georgia. He's made some plays. And I really think this is a game where he can kind of step out and kind of help this team in a big way win a football game. I mean, he caught a big touchdown pass against South Carolina. that helped tie that game, and Georgia wasn't able to win it. But he's been quiet a little bit here of late, and I think he's a guy that can kind of step up and have a big game. I really like him on that slot fade route where Georgia gets vertical and takes advantage of the opposing team trying to press that guy in the slot. I think he can kind of bust out and make a big play. All right, guys, it's time for picks. Rusty, start us off.
Weather concerns me, and I don't think it's – I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be anything like Kentucky because that was basically a tropical storm. The wind was what was bad that day. The amount of rain wasn't really the problem. It did get – soak it down, but it was the wind that caused the problems against Kentucky. Seems like this is going to be more rain, you know, calling for maybe an inch now during the day on Saturday. But, you know, you look at this and Georgia is built to grind on you, to wear on you. You know, DeAndre Swift is a home run threat every single play. And I just feel like this is going to be one of those games. It could be a Kentucky deal where a turnover on special teams changes the game. You know, this is we talked about after the South Carolina loss when everybody was, you know, the board was a mess. People were folding shop. This has got to change. I kept saying, you're going to find out because all the answers are going to be there about Georgia. We can say what we want. Kip can write any article. Jake can write any article. And I can write any article. You're going to get your answers about Georgia. We've gotten them. They've been focused. They've done what they needed to do. They went into a top 10 matchup with Florida. One, they went on the road at Auburn, which is very hard to do. Went over 2 years ago and got absolutely spanked, boat raced out of that building. Went over this weekend and won. If this team is who I think they are still and the focus is them, they're going to handle this game. But I absolutely think this is going to be a four-quarter game with Texas A&M. I got Georgia 20, Texas A&M 14.
All right, Kip, what you got, man?
One thing that I want to point out that hasn't really been discussed is, once again, Georgia's got to face a heck of a tight end on Texas A&M. I mean, they faced some really good ones. Kyle Pitts, Cole Kmet, Albert Okwuegbunam. These guys are all, you know, grown men, and they some of them have put up some numbers against Georgia. But look at true freshman Jalen Wittermeyer for Texas A&M. This guy's averaging over 15 yards a catch. He's got six touchdown catches. He's 6'5", 260 pounds. He's going to be a problem. And then when we talk about the guys that Rusty kind of mentioned, you know, Jamon Osmond, Courtney Davis, Kendrick Rogers, these guys are all over 6'2", 200 pounds. Kendrick's 6'4". These are big jokers catching passes downfield for Texas A&M. I expect, regardless of weather, I think that Kellen Mond, they're going to take some shots. I think early in the game, they're going to connect on a couple of those. Now, granted, I do think it gives Georgia a chance to make a big play, force a turnover, and it's happened to Texas A&M this year. But I think early in the game, you could see them, you know, put, you know, move the ball downfield really quickly and maybe, you know, go up 10-0 in a hostile environment. But I think that over the course of the game, Georgia settles in. And again, I question Texas A&M's ability to consistently run the ball against Georgia because, honestly, no one's really been able to. I mean, not a single team has run for 5 yards per carry against Georgia. And I think only one, I think Kentucky's the only one that had more than 4 yards per carry against Georgia this year. You know, Georgia's allowing like 2.7 yards per carry right now. I don't think that even though Texas A&M's running backs have played better as of late, I don't think they can get that done against Georgia. I have to look at the guys that Texas A&M has kind of played over the last couple of weeks. You look at that schedule, you know, it's kind of skewed the stats a little bit, playing teams like Texas, San Antonio, Mississippi State, you know, Ole Miss. I think that the stats don't really tell it all in their running game. And I think Georgia's going to be, you know, make it tough sledding for them. And I think the crowd's going to be a factor as well, you know, helping Georgia get a couple penalties, you know, against Texas A&M offense. I think they turned the ball over a couple times. And I think Georgia kind of pulls away late in the game. I got them winning 27-17.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. My gut feeling all week about this game is that Georgia's going to be in trouble. I've just had that kind of a gut feeling, but then I keep looking using my head instead of my gut, and I keep looking at the kind of the numbers and the way the two teams match up. I mean, I know Texas A&M's playing better ball of late, but then you look at the schedule and it's Ole Miss, Mississippi State, UT San Antonio, and South Carolina, which has kind of fallen apart. I mean, I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah. I get those two guys mixed up. One's a televangelist. The other one's they may be related. I'm not sure. One's a draft expert. He was talking about how Javon Kinlaw has really fallen off this year for South Carolina and how just the Gamecocks in general. I mean, they beat them last week without Brian Edwards, and South Carolina seems to have kind of thrown in the towel a little bit on Will Muschamp over there. So I don't think they've really beaten any good teams. I look at Kellen Mond's record on the road, and all of that's kind of brought me back to a point where I do like Georgia in this game, even though I still kind of think that I still think there's going to be some adversity in this one for Georgia. I'm not super worried about the rain, because I do think there are going to be dry points in this game, and you know, there's a chance that the rain may have moved out by the time the game started. It might rain during the game a little bit, but there's a chance that the bulk of it's going to happen in the morning. The one thing I like for Georgia in this one is I think Georgia is finally going to get an opportunity against a team where it can run the ball throughout the game. I think that maybe it's not ripping off explosive runs early, but I think Georgia's ability to move the chains early in this game is going to be the difference, because I think it might take Texas A&M some time to settle in offensively and get it going, and I think Georgia can kind of start the wear down process a little earlier. I think this one's going to be tied in, you know, into the third quarter, maybe into the fourth, but I think Georgia kind of scores late and wins by a full score, maybe two. But I like Georgia in this one, 27-20. But it's one of those where I do think Georgia's going to have to play well. I do think Georgia's going to have to face some adversity, and I do think Texas A&M is going to be the first team this season to put 20 points on Georgia and have a chance, you know, late in the game to you know, kind of have Georgia on their heels, I guess, a little bit late in the game. But that's my prediction, and ultimately, you know, I want to say that Georgia fans need to show up and show out for this one. You know, like I said, there are a lot of really good, really cool guys, really good guys, seniors on this team. J.R. Reed, one of the coolest kids you'll ever deal with in the media. Have watched him kind of grow up and become a star. You know, he's a semifinalist for the Thorpe and a finalist for the Nagurski. So. You know, Georgia's got a lot of good players on this team. A lot of guys will be playing their last game in Sanford Stadium. That includes DeAndre Swift and Andrew Thomas, potentially Jake Fromm, even though, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he decides to do. There could be some more guys. So big night for those guys. Big night for Georgia, because I really feel if they clear this huddle, they're going to be heavy favorites against Georgia Tech next weekend. And you know, be have a chance to finish this season for the third year in a row, 11-1. And play in the SEC championship game in a play-in scenario for the college football playoff. But for this show, for this Junkyard Dogcast, I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell of Dogs 24/7. And we'll catch up with you guys later on.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.